Welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, the show that brings you man-on-the-street interviews, celebrity guests, and groundbreaking research. Our show is also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but we're too numb to ask. I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko, and thank you for joining me today.
The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, or parent company. To hear a replay of this show or one of the other great shows that previously aired, log on to dentallyspeaking.com or iTunes, keywords Dr. Kvitko or Dentally Speaking. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in place of an actual dental exam.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Time now for Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko to discuss your dental issues. Now, here's your host, Dr. Kvitko.
Hello, and welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Our show is also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but we're too numb to ask. Hello, I'm General Dentist Dr. Kvitko, and thank you for joining me here today. So again, welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Thank you for joining me here today. It's going to be a great show. I have with me on the phone Dr. Terry Day, MD, FACS. The reason he's on the phone is because he is the director, I think the executive director of Oral Head and Neck Cancer Awareness Week, and he'll probably correct me on that a little bit later. But anyway, he is Wendy and Keith Welland Chair in Head and Neck Surgery, Professor and Director, Head and Neck Tumor Center, Vice Chair for Clinical Affairs, the Department of Otolaryngology, Head and Neck Surgery, Hollings Cancer Center, Medical University of South Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina. He received his medical degree from the University of Oklahoma, completed his residency at Louisiana State University before pursuing a fellowship in head and neck oncologic surgery at the University of California, Davis, and in cranial maxillofacial surgery at Insula Pittel, Bern. Oh boy, I'll have to get his correction on that. Switzerland. Following fellowship, he joined the faculty in the Department of Otolaryngology, Head and Neck Surgery at Vanderbilt University Medical Center in Nashville. See, I can say that one. Tennessee, and is now Professor, Vice Chair, and Director of the Division of Head and Neck Oncologic Surgery in the Department of Otolaryngology, Head and Neck Surgery at the Medical University of South Carolina in Charleston. He also serves as the Director of the Head and Neck Tumor Center at MUSC and has a joint appointment in the Department of Cranial Facial Biology, Department of Stomatology, and College of Graduate Studies. Dr. Day, thank you for being on my show today.
Thank you very much, Dr. Kvitko. I'm really excited about this opportunity and Oral and Head and Neck Cancer Awareness Week this year.
Yeah, I've been learning a lot about it in this week leading up to this. And tell me, how I kind of messed up the name of the Switzerland institution. How do you say that?
Oh, that's Insel Spital Bern.
Insel Spital Bern.
In Bern, Switzerland. It's the hospital in the capital, Bern, Switzerland.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you for that. It's a Swiss name. And I made it into Swiss cheese, didn't I?
No, problem.
Anyway, so yeah, and this is something, not that oral cancer is new to me, because I've actually diagnosed it in my office. My brother's father-in-law passed away of oral cancer. Not a very pretty disease. It's just plain no fun. And we recently lost Roger Ebert.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, in fact, I was reading a little bit. He's pretty much been a champion to those who have head and neck oral cancer, hasn't he?
Yes, in fact, he was one of our founding board members for this organization in the 1980s, along with Yul Brynner, who founded it with George Sisson, one of the surgeons, and Roger Ebert, along with Gatlin Brothers and others.
This was before he had oral cancer?
Pardon me?
Would this have been before Roger Ebert had his cancer?
Oh, yes. It was long before, and he probably didn't know much about it until he was approached about the organization, but he really helped out jumpstart the organization to educate people and do research in head and neck cancer back in the 80s.
Wow, that's really, I don't know, that's an interesting connection. I maybe it helped him know that he already had a support system that he had helped found or form. Now, Yul Brynner died of oral cancer, correct?
Well, actually, he died of lung cancer.
Okay.
One year after he started this foundation, he didn't realize that smoking several packs of cigarettes a day could cause cancer. And when he was in Chicago doing The King and I, he got hoarse one day and hadn't missed The King and I in thousands of plays and didn't think he'd be able to perform. And so he called his doctor in New York, who referred him to an ENT doctor in Chicago, Dr. Sisson, who diagnosed a precancer on his vocal cord and got him through the got him through that week of shows. And that's when he got involved. He said, "Gosh, I've got to stop smoking. I didn't realize this could happen. And let's start something to tell the world about it."
Yeah, for those that didn't pick up on that, Yul Brynner played Daddy Warbucks in the Broadway presentation of Annie. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, and he was in a number of other theater performances as well, you know, on Broadway as well as in the movies.
Okay. He played it in the movie? Oh, no, he just was in other movies. That's right. He played, like, Westerns and things.
That's right.
He was one of the first actors to just shave his head the rest of the way bald. I don't think you know how people shave their head these days because they're starting to lose their hair? I think he was just plain bald. Right? I think people would remember him that way. That's really sad, of course, that both of these individuals and, of course, my brother's father-in-law. And so you are a head and neck surgeon, so you're the one then that would be charged with doing the surgery to remove these tumors?
Yes, that's right. That's pretty much all I do these days, and it's come a long way. Before, almost all of the cancers coming in were advanced stage, and now dentists and physicians in the community are identifying these early, getting them over to us, and we can do a very minor surgery and cure the cancer if it's caught early enough.
Now, is that, there are different types of cancer, obviously. We have red spots, we have white spots. The red spots are the ones that are typically carcinomas that we have to worry more about. What are you seeing? Are you seeing, like, dentists locating these spots and just referring you for evaluation, or are they doing biopsies, and then once it comes back, cancer is sending them to you?
I think, for the dental community, identifying them is key, and the majority of my patients have been diagnosed by a dentist, and the dental community gets a lot better training than the medical community in evaluating, examining, and diagnosing lesions in the mouth. And so that's part of the reason. I think we really need to educate the rest of the health practitioners that are out there to look in the mouth. Don't just use a tongue blade and a pen light, but have an external light source, examine every area. If there's a red or white patch anywhere in the mouth or the throat that lasts for more than 2 weeks, it needs to be checked out. So at that point, they can send them to a specialist, whether it's an oral surgeon or ENT or other type of clinician that can then do a biopsy and then get them into treatment. And I see them all types. I'll see somebody that just comes in because they have a red patch. I'll have somebody that was seen by a dentist. And then they send them over, and they see somebody that's been sent by multiple specialists and biopsied, and then they're sent for treatment.
Okay, now I want to tell you a little story about a patient who I found a lesion in his mouth, and we did a biopsy. And what I do, if it's a small lesion, I do an excisional biopsy. Usually you're talking about less than a centimeter, and it came back cancerous. And so let's put it this way, the best I know, he followed up with care. I would have to assume that he did. I remember the day very clearly when I told him what the results of his biopsy were, and he never came back. And I didn't know if I should have called him and said, "How are you doing?" If he was mad at me for finding the lesion. Have you ever experienced that? Or have you ever had a dentist tell you that kind of story?
Well, I think it depends on the people that are involved. There's even some of our patients that are referred for cancer, believe it or not, might not even seek any treatment.
Oh.
Some of them, yeah, so some of them might even think that, gosh, well, this is supposed to happen, and this is the way it is, and I'm not going to get treatment. And then there's others that might come in, get their treatment, and we never see them again. But I generally recommend that all patients follow up with their primary dentist and primary physician about every 3 to 6 months throughout the 5 years after they're diagnosed, because there is a chance that another cancer can arise or a cancer can come back and things like that. And there's a lot of issues related to treatment with dry mouth and mucus and things that the dentists are going to really be involved in and take charge of with the patient.
So I don't really know if my patient was in denial and didn't seek treatment, or if he just sought treatment, had it removed, and felt like he was fine. And maybe I reminded him of the cancer, so he found another dentist, or maybe he's never been to a dentist since. I just don't know.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah, I guess I could send him a letter or something just to kind of to find out. But I'm afraid, because if things didn't go well. Anyway, that'll just be a mystery. But I guess if you are a patient and you're listening, or you become one, we hope not, but if you do, I would say, yeah, please follow up with the dentist or physician that found the lesion to begin with, so that I think, because I can learn more, I can do a better job for the next patient by understanding what it is exactly that I saw. You know what I mean? It's like, let me think, there's a really good example that's coming to mind. There was this case where it's going to sound like maybe it's not related, but I'll get there. Basically, I saw this patient come in with some really great dental care in most of their mouth and some really bad dental care in part of their mouth. And it looked, and I said, did you change dentists? And the answer was no. And I'm looking at this going, this looks like this dental work was done by two completely different people. And so it struck me that something had changed in this dentist's life, thinking to myself, maybe they became ill, maybe they were involved in drugs, maybe they were on something when they did this other dentistry. So I reported it to the dental authorities, thinking that I would do a couple of things, help the dentist and help the patient. Well, they did a follow-up, but they said it was private privilege information. They couldn't tell me if my suspicions were correct. So to this day, I don't know if what I saw was what I thought I saw. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's very interesting.
And I would like to think that. I'm thinking what they do is they get the dentist help, they get him into rehab, if that's what it was. But it sure would have been helpful to me to know if my suspicions were right, just like, you know, my patient. You know, so if he'd have come back, I'd have been a better practitioner, I think, the next time. And the next time, and the next time. Anyway, you know what?
Yeah.
I just noticed that we have to go to a commercial break. So if you'll hang with me, I've got so many more questions we have to cover. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, and we are here with Dr. Terry Day, and we are talking about Oral Head and Neck Cancer Awareness Week, and we'll be right back.
Stay tuned to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko.
Hi, this is Jeff with Myers Jewelers. Make that special someone happy with a gift from Myers Jewelers. Myers Jewelers, the home of the world-famous Myers Jewelers Gold Rose, now available in 12 assorted colors. Give the rose that lasts forever. Another great gift is Pandora bracelets and beads. At Myers Jewelers, we have a Pandora boutique within our store, stocked with all the latest Pandora beads and jewelry. Come visit the family on Stringtown Road in Grove City and experience Myers Jewelers.
Decide Dentistry, the leader in high-quality cosmetic and restorative dentistry in Central Ohio, now offers the latest technology, Fast Braces. It's fast, safe, and affordable compared to traditional braces. This new technology of Fast Braces allows for less treatment time, and that means the patients save time and money, achieving the best smile possible. Dr. Desai is also a provider of six-month smiles and Invisalign. She's very well known for her crown and bridge work, too. Visit DesaiDentistry.com. Dr. Desai Dentistry, brightening lives one smile at a time.
State ascoltando Dentally Speaking con il dottor Kvitko, qui sulla vostra radio preferita.
And welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Today we are talking about Oral Head and Neck Cancer Awareness Week. And we have with us on the phone from South Carolina, Dr. Terry Day. He is a physician, he is a head and neck surgeon, and he is on the front lines. And he is also, Dr. Day, are you the executive director of the Head and Neck Cancer Alliance, or what is your actual title?
I'm the president of the board of directors.
President of the board of directors, okay. And this was formerly known as the Yul Brynner Head and Neck Cancer Foundation. Yul Brynner played Daddy Warbucks in Annie, and he had developed lung cancer, you said, and then a year later, well, basically, he got involved and felt like he needed to stop smoking because he didn't realize it could cause cancer. And then we recently lost Roger Ebert to his throat cancer? Roger Ebert.
Roger Ebert, from what I understand just through the media, that it was a salivary gland cancer.
Salivary gland, okay. And I've diagnosed sialoliths. I've diagnosed, you know, a sialolith, by the way, for the people listening, is a stone, like a gallstone, but in your salivary duct. And it's a calcification. That doesn't necessarily cause cancer, but it can cause a lot of pain and swelling. So, you know, I have this I have this thing that was written by Roger Ebert, and he wrote it in May, on May 4th of 2011, and it says, "The way to a man's heart is through his stomach." Now, for those of you who don't know, Roger Ebert was a movie critic, Siskel and Ebert, and he developed his cancer, and he had surgery, and he wound up needing a feeding tube, which a lot of these folks do, correct? And you put these in, don't you?
I don't personally put those in.
Oh, no. You don't? What surgeon would do that? A thoracic surgeon? General surgeon?
Usually a general surgeon or a GI surgeon, yes.
Okay, so after his cancer and he could no longer chew and swallow, I think his entire mandible had to be resected, removed. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah, I'm not exactly familiar with all of the treatments he underwent, but I think it's something similar to that.
Okay. I'm going to read a little part of his story that he wrote, because I'll tell you what, it really helped me identify with the folks that I think that you deal with. And here it is. It says, "I'm one of about 350,000 Americans with a feeding tube. You probably know one of us. 6 times a day, a can of liquid food is dripped into me from a plastic bag on a pole. It takes maybe 15 minutes. I continue to write, read, or watch TV. My caregiver, Millie Salmon, performs the process so easily that sometimes half an hour later, Chaz will call me, ask me if I've eaten, and I'm honestly unable to say. The sight of me eating in this way is presumed to be offensive. At film festivals, Chaz or Millie will squirrel me away into a private place. On airplanes, I go into the toilet and use a syringe to feed myself. In a dispassionate, analytic sense, a discreet G-tube is more subtle than someone chomping their way down on an ear of corn or sliding a double-up pizza wedge in sideways. But believe me, it isn't nearly as much fun. Chaz and Millie buy raw vegetables and steam them a little and put them into a juicer. They must be liquid enough to run through the tube. Millie loves to recite long lists of veggies in my supplementary mix, but they're all the same to me. She goes berserk at the produce counter. There's a website online encouraging the use of live food, and I'm sure it's good for my health, but the bottom line remains the canned stuff. I've lived on it in one version or another since the summer of 2006, and my doctor has a patient who has prospered for 30 years this way. Of course, we're not talking about the kinds of dietary substitutes you see advertised in weight loss regimens. G-tube users don't want to lose weight. We want to stay alive. These are specialized preparations, and Doc Havey has a booklet listing hundreds. Chaz has Millie carefully make a note of every time I'm fed, because oddly enough, along with my sense of taste, I also seem to have lost my feelings of hunger. I go hours without a meal and don't notice it. As this stuff drips into me, I feel like a goose being prepped for foie gras. I obtain adequate protein from vegetable sources. I have blood tests from time to time which produce a printout of 2.5 pages of blood components, and it's a rare test when even a single reading falls outside the recommended range. That's what I mean when I say my numbers are great. A lot of fat people say their numbers are great, but that's according to them. My cholesterol has been low enough for years to reverse the buildup of plaque. I'm not bragging. This is an accomplishment that has been forced upon me." He talked about how at one point he wanted to have an orange soda and begged them to put an orange soda in, so they finally dripped it into the tube, and he said it didn't matter. He couldn't taste it. And the point is this is what happens to people who have oral cancer. This becomes their life, isn't it?
Many of these people do. Hopefully, if the cancer is caught early enough, they will either resume a normal diet within a few days or only have a feeding tube placed for a week or so.
Okay.
The advanced cancers, yes, this can happen.
So your point is, and the point of Oral Head and Neck Cancer Awareness Week, is to catch it early and to try to keep people from winding up like Roger Ebert did, correct?
Yes, that's definitely it. We want to find these cancers early, prevent them, and cure them with very simple treatments with no side effects. And that can be done. If a small red or white spot, nowadays, one of the most rapidly rising cancers in the head and neck is throat cancer, tonsil invasive tongue, in people who don't drink or smoke. And this is from HPV, and they usually have a sore throat, swollen tonsil, or a lump in their neck, and end up finding out they have a virus-mediated cancer.
HPV is human papillomavirus, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
And how would somebody avoid that? You can't, can you?
Well, I think the majority of Americans are exposed to HPV through oral sex and other mechanisms, but whether or not the cancer is going to cause or the virus is going to cause cancer hasn't been determined. How to identify who's at risk, because so many people are exposed to the virus anyway.
Okay. So that's kind of scary that it's no longer just the people that drink alcohol and just the people that smoke or do snuff. It could be anybody.
It could be anybody, and it is. It is anybody. We see young children sometimes and teenagers, college students with tongue cancer, and it's very distressing because most of the people had never heard of it and didn't know that they could have something like that, so they may not have sought attention, or their health professional didn't diagnose it when it could have been diagnosed.
Yeah, that's sad if it happens, and of course we're trying to prevent that. Now, in 1997, that's when you formed the Association for Head and Neck Cancer Awareness. What prompted you to do that? Was there a particular episode?
Well, that was right when I started my, right out of my training, and I realized that all of my patients coming in with head and neck cancer, hardly any of them or their family knew that they could get one of these cancers. They didn't know it existed. They didn't know the signs or symptoms. And they had a delay in diagnosis, whether it was their fault or their physician's fault or whoever. But so I thought, wow, we really need to increase the awareness of this disease in the world. And so I searched around on the internet, and there wasn't an organization that was doing this. I called the CDC, I called NIH. Different reasons weren't pursuing awareness of this type of cancer. And so I said, well, let's just start something. And so we started that year. 1998 was the first oral head and neck cancer awareness week, and we had three places that organized the event and helped spread the word. Now it's grown to over 300.
Wow.
And so it's still important because we're still not diagnosing all of them early enough.
Yeah. Oh, I would believe that. I definitely believe that. We can't, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit in a minute about some of the tests that we have available to us, but let me just mention the CDC stands for the Center for Disease Control, and NIH is National Institute of Health. So you checked with those folks. Well, how did you then come to discover the Yul Brynner Head and Neck Cancer Foundation, which was kind of in mothballs, so to speak, at that point? But how did they contact you once they saw that you were getting involved in something like this?
That's exactly what happened. Jerry Goldstein, who was a physician and one of the founders of the Yul Brynner Foundation, heard about it and called me and said, hey, this is just what Yul wanted. And Yul Brynner's widow, Kathy, was still involved. And, she now lives over in Switzerland. But they and George Sisson were still involved. So they said, hey, what if we merge these two organizations and took it to the next level? And so, you know, I thought, well, that's fine. Let's do that, and then we had a little more of a groundswell, and just took off from there.
Was the work or training that you did in Switzerland, did it have anything to do with this, or just by chance you'd already done your training in Switzerland, and turns out you became associated with Yul Brynner's widow, who lives in Switzerland?
Yeah, very interesting. She was just down the road, and didn't know anything about it until about a year and a half after I got back.
Wow, that is neat. That's kind of neat. So did you travel back to Switzerland to kind of meet with her and talk? Or?
Well, she actually came to the United States, and she still had connections and a lot of friends on Broadway in New York City. And so she actually returned for the first Cancer Survivors Banquet that we had in 1998 for Oral Head and Neck Cancer Awareness Week in Nashville. And so she was our guest of honor and gave a nice talk, and so she's remained very supportive.
That's really neat. I want to, before we go to break, I usually do what's called Dr. Kvitko's question of the day, and we always make it poignant to our topic. And so this day, we're not going to do it right yet, because we always do this little disclaimer, but let me just tell people that head and neck cancers include cancers of the following areas. They include cancers of the mouth, throat, voice box, skin, sinuses, salivary glands, and thyroid gland. All right? So cancers, head and neck cancers include cancers of the mouth, throat, voice box, skin, sinuses, salivary glands, and thyroid glands. All right? So we do have to, so what we're going to do is, before we do Dr. Kvitko's question of the day, we need you to listen to this.
This station will not be held liable for any contesting during Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Participation in the contest allows Dr. Kvitko to record and broadcast your name and call. One winner per household, prizes are non-transferable, cannot be substituted, and are subject to taxes and fees. This station cannot be responsible for the inability to enter the contest, whether due to equipment malfunction or telephone difficulties. All decisions of Dr. Kvitko concerning this contest or eligibility are final.
And now it's time for Dr. Kvitko's question of the day.
All right. Now, let me just remind you, there are going to be up to four winners today. One winner will receive free flowers from Vice Denver Florists, plus two tickets to the Women's Expo that takes place on April 27th and 28th at the Lausche Building of the Ohio Expo Center. By the way, come visit me and my staff. I'll have my rolling studio right inside the building. It's going to be a lot of fun, so come and meet us in person. That would be wonderful. Also, up to three more of you will receive two free tickets to the Women's Expo. So go ahead and call 459-9769, 459-9769. And let me just restate the question before you do. The question of the day is, head and neck cancers include cancers of A, the mouth, B, the throat, C, the voice box, D, the skin, E, the sinuses, F, the salivary glands, G, the thyroid glands, or H, all of the above. All right, so go ahead and call now.
Hey, this is Olympic snowboarder Louis Vito, and make sure you stay tuned to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko.
Dentally Speaking is his talk show. Dr. Kvitko, let's go!
Yeah! Mom, has your son or daughter been begging you to learn to play guitar, but you don't know where to go or who to talk to? Well, fret no more. Call Guitar Lessons Columbus today at 427-3187. We'll teach your child how to actually apply and use the fundamentals, learn to play an entire song, make new friends with guitar, and even play with a drummer, all in the first month of playing. The earlier they start, the better. So don't wait. Call Guitar Lessons Columbus today at 614-427-3187 or check us out online at guitarlessonscolumbus.com.
How long does it take to become a dental assistant? 2 years? A year? 6 months? In just 10 Saturdays, you can get the training you'll need to become an in-demand dental assistant at Assist to Succeed Dental Assisting School, located in the Dublin Plaza Shopping Center at 365 West Bridge Street. Hi, I'm Kendra, the owner, and I'd like to invite you to a better career. For more information, call me at 740-602-1250 or go to assisttosucceedofcolumbus.com.
Sie hören zu einer Rede über zahnärztliche Sachen mit Dr. Kvitko hier an Ihrer beliebtesten Station.
Hi, I'm Dominique Reigert. Like what you hear? Why not use the Dentally Speaking Show to promote your product or service by becoming a sponsor? Call 614-262-9588 to learn how. That's 614-262-9588. Call now or send an email to drkvitko@aol.com.
You just put your lips together and you come real close. Can you blow my whistle, baby, whistle, baby? Here we go.
And welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. We were doing Dr. Kvitko's question of the day. We have callers on the line. And the question was, head and neck cancers include cancers of the following areas: A, mouth, B, throat, C, voice box, D, skin, E, sinuses, F, salivary glands, G, thyroid gland, or G, all of the above. Or was it H, all of the above? All of the above. Anyway. All right. So, Dr. Day, could you give me a number from 1 to 4 so that we can just decide which caller is going to be the winner? Caller, what number? 1, 2, 3, or 4? What line should we pick?
I think number 3.
Pick line number 3. Okay. All right. So we will do that. Okay. So we have caller number 3 is Ben. Hey, Ben. How are you today? Hello,
good.
Ben. Oh, you're there. Okay. Okay. So, hey, Ben, what's your answer?
H, all of the above.
Okay. Dr. Day, what's the answer?
Yep.
I think this one's going to be all of the above.
Okay. Dr. Day said you had the right answer. So, hey, Ben, what do you do? Are you a student? You are?
Stevenson Elementary in Grandview Heights, Ohio.
Well, cool. Thank you so much for listening and for calling. Do you listen a lot?
No.
No? Oh, mm-hmm. Bad answer. Okay. Anyway, but we're happy you're listening today. All right, so I want you to stay on the line because you're going to win free tickets to the Women's Expo and flowers, okay? Maybe you can send them to your favorite person.
All right.
Okay, sound good. And then the other callers, stay on the line as well, because we'll be getting your address so we can send you free tickets to the Women's Expo. Okay.
I think it's been a great show so far. I'm really excited to have Dr. Day on the phone with me. I think this is a great thing that he's doing. That he's bringing awareness to oral head and neck cancer in the form of Oral Head and Neck Cancer Awareness Week. And the website, or actually you can search for OHANCAW. That's the acronym. And if you were to type that in, or actually oralheadandneckcancer.org, I believe you said, Dr. Day?
That is head and neck, all one word, .org.
Oh, and there's no oral in it. Okay. Okay.
Or no oral, but they can Google Oral Head and Neck Cancer Awareness Week and find it also.
Okay. Okay, that sounds neat. Now, okay, we're talking about the disfigurement that sometimes occurs when you remove these cancers, and you have literally no choice. You have to identify the cancer. You have to make sure you've gotten every last cell, if at all possible. So what you do, if I'm correct me if I'm wrong, is you go in and you remove what you think is the cancer and some healthy tissue all the way around, correct?
Yeah, so we remove the cancer and make sure we get completely around it. And sometimes it will involve the tongue or the jawbone or some teeth or the palate. And so unfortunately, sometimes if it's advanced, those areas have to be removed also.
Now, during surgery, you'll actually do histologic tests, right? You'll actually take a sample of, or they'll go and they'll put it under a microscope. And how is that, like, how many times during one surgery do you have to stop and wait for the lab results to know if you got it all?
Well, that goes on throughout surgery, and we make sure it's completely clear, and we'll label these with letters and medical terms, and sometimes we'll make it into a second alphabet. So it's until the cancer is clear, we don't like to stop.
Okay. And I'm just curious, when you remove the first layer and then you're waiting for the results, and then the results come back, you didn't quite get it all, and you go, do you use completely different instruments at that point? Is there a point where you say we don't want anything contaminating the surgical instruments because we know that one had cancer and we're hoping this next one doesn't?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, we like to, if the cancer has touched anything, we like to discard those instruments and have those re-cleaned, and then we'll start with a new set.
Okay, so you may go through, like you said, you get way up into the, you may go through 17, 18 packages of instruments.
Well, it just depends on how extensive the cancer is. That'd be very uncommon, but it's entirely possible.
Okay. And so then sometimes these people are left, they can't function with the whole, without a palate. I mean, it's very difficult to breathe, and they would get food in their airway. And so what has to happen then is these prostheses, right? They're plastic, they're made to look like skin, or they're made to look like mucosa, or in some cases it even takes out the outer border of the maxilla, which would be under the eye, or even the eye, am I right?
Yeah, we'll take those out, and there's different ways to rehabilitate. You can use a prosthetic that's placed in there and connected to posts or implants.
Right.
Or we now can do transplants of tissue from other parts of the body and make a new jawbone or new palate.
So you'll use a rib for a mandible. What do you use for a maxilla?
Well, the mandible, the most common bone is the fibula bone.
Okay. Oh, really? Oh, one of the two small bones below the knee?
Yeah, one of the lower leg bones and the scapula bone on the shoulder blade. The forearm bone. Those all are pretty commonly used now in reconstruction of the mandible. And then the palate, so it depends on how much tissue's gone, if there's bone that's gone or just soft tissue. And that would determine what type of reconstruction. These are called free tissue transfers or free flaps.
Oh, okay. So you take it from one place and put it in another.
And it's revascularized. So under a microscope, the surgeon would hook up an artery and a vein to an artery and vein in the neck. So it's actually living tissue.
Oh, wow, that's really great. That's really neat. Now, on one hand, I'm thinking as what you do, you're saving lives, and yet you're disfiguring people. And you deal with that on a daily basis. How hard is that for you? I mean, obviously, I'm thinking you probably can get past the part of disfigurement by realizing you've saved their life, but it still must be a challenge. It still must be tough.
Well, we do a lot of pre-treatment education.
Yes.
And when possible, we will have the patient actually meet with another patient who's undergone this and talk to them and see what it's like, and then they can see firsthand about that. And that is one of the hardest parts, disfigurement and lack of function. And so fortunately now with speech pathologists and dentists and prosthodontists and reconstructive surgeons, the ability to rehabilitate these people is much better. And so very few are left with a permanent tracheotomy or feeding tube, since those areas can now be reconstructed.
Okay, so they can then be able to eat properly again, because an oral, well, let's say the oral pharynx can be separated from the nasal pharynx and so on.
That's exactly right.
Okay. Do you ask these people, your patients, to come back and kind of say hello so that you can see how they're doing? I mean, does it help your psyche to see them kind of, in your words, rehabilitated and kind of looking somewhat normal again?
Oh, well, yes. It's very important these patients come back every 6 to 12 weeks, especially during the first year or two, and then at least every 3 months until the fifth year when they're considered cured of their cancer. But at the same time, we can help them functionally and cosmetically. So I like to see them, and they typically like to come back. And if they travel a long distance, then we'll try to connect them with a specialist closer to their home.
And what kind of tests would you do on them to make sure their cancer hasn't come back? Is it a blood test looking for some kind of an enzyme or elevated level of something?
We hope there'll soon be a blood test. Right now, there's not for most of these cancers. And so we're doing a very detailed examination of the areas that are at the highest risk. And then if necessary, we can do some different imaging, like a CAT scan or an MRI or what's called a PET scan, and that can help identify hidden tumors sometimes.
Oh, wow. Okay. Didn't realize that. And so the detailed exam would be what you would want me to do as a dentist, but you're just really taking your time and looking at every single edge of the surgical site.
Yeah, every edge, and make sure the lymph nodes in the neck are still normal and there's been no spread or cancer in that area.
And you have to then probably, do you have to anesthetize some of these folks, like take them into the operating room? Because you can't be putting your fingers down to their tonsils and all the way in there without gagging them, right?
Well, that's mostly true. We have some topical medicine we can spray, and then we have these really tiny fiber optic scopes now that can go through the mouth or the nose and aren't painful, that can examine those areas better than they used to be. But yeah, in some cases we might have to look under anesthesia.
Okay, yeah, I just was thinking about that because I know that when we go to check the oral pharynx, sometimes they gag. But okay, so in a minute, what I want to do is I want to get some more information about Ohankaw and the kinds of things that are going on, the kind of wonderful work that your group is doing. Yeah, hang on just a second.
Stay tuned for more of Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko after these messages.
Estás escuchando Dentally Speaking con Dr. Kavitko aquí en su estación favorita.
If you love Asian cuisine, you owe it to yourself to try Wang's Teriyaki Asian Takeout Restaurant. Known for their better quality and lower prices, at Wang's Teriyaki, you can eat in, pick up your food for carryout, or let them deliver their delicious entrees right to your home, as fresh as if the chef cooked it on the grill right in front of you. Wang's Teriyaki is conveniently located at 4330 North High Street in Clintonville. Call them at 614-261-8881. That's 614-261-8881. Wang's Teriyaki, open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week.
Decide Dentistry, the leader in high-quality cosmetic and restorative dentistry in Central Ohio, now offers the latest technology, fast braces. It's fast, safe, and affordable compared to traditional braces. This new technology of fast braces allows for less treatment time, and that means the patients save time and money, achieving the best smile possible. Dr. Desai is also a provider of 6-month smiles and Invisalign. She's very well known for her crown and bridge work, too. Visit DesaiDentistry.com. Dr. Desai Dentistry, brightening lives one smile at a time.
Tell her make me a grill. I might be grilled out nicely. Oh. In my white tee. Oh. On South Beach. Oh. When I
open up your mouth, your grill gleaming.
And welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko. Dr. Day, I want to thank you so much for being my guest. We only have about 4, maybe even a little less, minutes left, and it's been very informational. I'm very appreciative of having you here, and the work that you're doing and the people that are working with you are doing is really, really wonderful from the testimonials that I've read. Now, where can people... So we know that people can find out more or about getting screened by going to the websites. But do you think, by the way, do you think all dentists and physicians should just be offering free oral head and neck cancer screenings just as a general rule or just during this week, or what do you think?
Well, you know, we think that physicians and dentists should do a oral cancer exam as part of their routine office visit, and it's just a couple of minutes of looking in the mouth and throat with an external light source, and then feeling the neck and feeling any suspicious areas. And then if they're not comfortable with the biopsy, then referring them to a specialist. And but as part of this week, the goal is to educate everybody. So the more people that are having these free screenings, the more of a community service it is, the more people are getting the visibility of a physician or dentist's office, and they know where they can go to get a good examination.
Okay. And so if I wanted to start one in Columbus, what would I do?
Basically, it's very easy. The hardest part for physicians and dentists is to block their schedule and find a date when you can block patients and open it up to people in the community just to stop in. And so block the date. Find a dental hygienist or dental assistant to say, okay, I'm going to help organize this. And then sign up on the website. The world will see about it. And people will then either you can do it by making appointments or leaving it an open day where people just show up. And then there's online a lot of forms that can be used for release of liability and examination that you can hand to the patient that shows that what was or wasn't found that they can then take on with them at the end.
Okay. Okay. And what are the statistics? Do you know how many people die of oral head and neck cancer in a year?
Well, we have the statistics from our, the United States statistics. You can see on one side would be the American Cancer Society has the facts and figures, which is an estimate of the death rate. And we know now that around 40,000 people are being diagnosed with just the mouth and throat cancers in the United States per year. And that there's an estimate of somewhere between 8,000 and 12,000 people are dying from these cancers annually.
Right. I remember a stat. It was something like one person every hour is diagnosed, and about a third of those folks will not make it, will die. And 40,000, equates, there were about, if I remember right, about 53,000 servicemen died in the Vietnam War, and almost that many people are being diagnosed with oral head and neck cancer each year. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, that is amazing. Yeah. Think about it that way.
Well, hey, Dr. Day, I really appreciate that you were able to get up and be with me so early in the morning to do my show.
It was my pleasure.
And what you're doing is wonderful. Keep up the good work. And if there's anything that I can do to help, please let me know. In the meantime, go out and have a great day, and we'll do our best to spread the word up here in Columbus, Ohio, okay?
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Kavitko, and generally speaking about getting the word out about this important event for all the other education that you're doing on your show. Thank you.
Hey, you're very welcome. And so the title of today's show is that I proudly welcome prominent head and neck surgeon Dr. Terry Day of the Medical University of South Carolina and Dr. Ted Technos of the Ohio State University James Cancer Research Center to talk about Oral Head and Neck Cancer Awareness Week, and basically oral head and neck cancer. And of course, the Cancer Week or Awareness Week is today, April 14th through April 20th. And so now with me on the phone is Dr. Technos. Good morning, Dr. Technos. How are you?
Good morning, Dr. Kavitko. Thanks for taking the time out to talk with me.
Hey, no problem. I'm really happy that you called in, and we have what we're going to do is so that we don't get interrupted is we're going to go to a break, and that'll be our last break, and then we can just talk until the end of the show. So when we come back from this commercial, I'll read your bio, and then we'll get rolling, okay?
Fantastic. Thank you.
Okay, you're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko, and we'll be right back.
This is Clark Kellogg. Stay tuned for more of Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko.
Vous écoutez à la radio du dentiste avec Dr. Kavitko, ici sur votre radio préférée.
Hi, this is Richard Simmons. Do you listen to Dentally Speaking? Well, you should. Dr. Kavitko's here, and he's going to help you with all of your problems. Are your teeth yellow? He can fix that. Are you missing a tooth? He can put a new one in. How is that?
That's very good. Thank you, Richard.
Hi, this is Jeff with Myers Jewelers. Make that special someone happy with a gift from Myers Jewelers. Myers Jewelers, the home of the world-famous Myers Jewelers Gold Rose, now available in 12 assorted colors. Give the rose that lasts forever. Another great gift is Pandora bracelets and beads. At Myers Jewelers, we have a Pandora boutique within our store, stocked with all the latest Pandora beads and jewelry. Come visit the family on Stringtown Road in Grove City and experience Myers Jewelers.
A better career is closer than you think. Hi, I'm Kendra O'Reilly, owner of the Assist to Succeed Dental Assisting School, located in the Dublin Plaza Shopping Center at 365 West Bridge Street. You can get all the training you'll need to become an in-demand dental assistant in just 10 Saturdays. For more information or immediate consideration, call 740-602-1250. That's 740-602-1250. Or go to assisttosucceedofcolumbus.com.
All right, welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko. And as I mentioned before the break, we are about to talk to Dr. Teknos of The Ohio State University. And so let me just give you his bio or read it to you. Dr. Teknos is the director of head and neck surgery at the James Cancer Hospital. He is also professor at The Ohio State University College of Medicine. Dr. Teknos is a graduate of Harvard Medical School and the Harvard Residency Program in Head and Neck Surgery. He did fellowship training in head and neck cancer surgery and reconstructive surgery at Vanderbilt University Medical Center. Prior to moving to Columbus, he was the director of head and neck surgery at the University of Michigan Health System. I see he came to his senses. And Dr. Teknos is an ardent proponent of the collaboration between dentists and head and neck surgeons in identifying and streamlining care for patients with oral cancer. He is a highly sought-after speaker and recently addressed the Seattle Study Club's annual meeting. So, Dr. Teknos, thank you for being on my show. Sorry about the reference to U of M.
Yeah, no, well, I put that in there on purpose.
Oh, you did? Well, you got the reaction you were looking for.
Yeah. You know, I always, when people ask me how I could do that, I tell them, you know, if you can't beat them, you join them.
Hey, well, you know what? We sent Trey Burke up to them, and they sent you to us.
That's right. I think that was an uneven trade.
Yeah, they're lost, right? Okay, so when we were speaking yesterday, and one of the things that, you know, the reason we kind of got together, obviously you and Dr. Day know each other, and I had talked about, you know, is there an event in Columbus? And he said, yeah, actually, there is an event in Columbus. So apparently you have put, let's see, it's called OHANCA, right, for the acronym.
Yep.
Oral Head and Neck Cancer Awareness Week. I think I'm missing one. Tell me.
I think you got it.
Okay.
I think you got it.
So what are you doing? What are you guys doing for this week? What do you have going?
So we've been actually doing this for several years, and what we do is, just as Dr. Day described, we block out a day in our clinics. We have several physicians, residents, dental professionals working together, and we screen any patients who come in from 8 in the morning to about 4 in the afternoon, and it's on Friday, April 26th at Ohio State.
Okay, so what building do they come to? Do they go to the main hospital there?
No, actually, no. The best place that we found for this event is over at the Eye and Ear Institute, which is on 915 Olentangy River Drive.
Okay.
And you can see it right off of the 315.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those two that you can, it's in what they call
Gowdy
Field, where the helicopters used to land.
That's right.
Okay.
So it's over at the Ioneer Institute. It's in the Department of Otolaryngology. And what we've done to make it a more organized event is we actually have time slots. So people can call the James line, the James Cancer line, and say that they want to be seen at the event, and they'll be given a time. Now, we also take walk-ins, but it's usually more organized if people call ahead of time.
Okay, so now, what'd you guys do to get yourselves banished to the other side of the river? Would you make them mad or something?
What? No, that's actually our department. So I work at the James Cancer Hospital, but I'm an otolaryngologist or an ENT, so our ENT department is actually at the at that Eye and Ear Institute.
No, actually, it looks like a really nice building. It looks like it's
gorgeous. And the nice thing about it is there's very easy parking, so it's just much more convenient for people to come in and get screened.
No, I think it's perfect, because I know even though I went to dental school at Ohio State University College of Dentistry, even I can get lost looking for a building over there. But the one that you're at, or the one that you're holding this at, is perfect because you can see it from 315. You just exit there at what, Twin Rivers Drive?
It depends which way you're coming, but I think it's if you're coming from the north, you get out on Kinnear.
Okay. Right there by the Lenox. Get off on Kinnear, and then just stay on Olin Tangi River Road. And
then the other one, you can, I believe you can get off from Goodale if you're coming from the south.
Okay. Sounds good. And give us the number again that they would call?
It's the James line.
Oh.
Yeah, which... I have to apologize. I don't know what it.
You know what? I'll look it up while we're talking.
It's a 1-800 number, but it's called James Line. And if you just go to the James Cancer Hospital website, you can make that appointment. Alternatively, they can call my office.
Okay.
Which is 614-293-8074. And then say that they want to attend the head and neck cancer screening. And they will help facilitate the appointment.
Okay, that sounds good. And in the meantime, I'm going to look up and see if I can get the other phone number.
Great.
Okay, now when we were talking yesterday, you told me something that I was not aware of. Okay, here's the James line. The James line is 614-293-5066 or toll-free 1-800-293-5066. Okay? So
great.
We have both numbers, yours and that. So that's good. So, yeah, yesterday when we were talking... You started to tell me about a service that you offer, and I was unaware of it. So tell me about it. Tell me what we have going here.
Sure. So I really am a big proponent of oral cancer screenings being done in the dental office as part of the routine dental examination. So I've become very involved with the dental community here in Columbus and nationally, trying to push for mainly education about what abnormal lesions look like and which ones are suspicious and which ones are not. So what I've found is dentists are really interested in screening for these cancers. The problem they run into, though, is they have a difficult time making appointments or convincing primary care physicians that these lesions are worthy of being evaluated. So there's a foundation called JonesFoundation.org, and Jones Foundation is an organization that raises awareness and raises money for head and neck cancer research here in Central Ohio. So what that foundation has done is set up a website specifically for dentists,
okay,
where they can take either a white light picture or a Velscope or Visalight photo and upload it onto the website. And then one of our cancer surgeons takes a look at the photo and determines, is it a lesion that's worthy of biopsy? Is it a lesion that, may be something unrelated, and then can help streamline a referral?
So what's the website, or how would I, is it something you don't want to give out over the air because people be getting emails from non-physicians, non-dentists?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Is it a website that you can give out over the air? Or
oh,
you
yeah,
don't?
Yeah. It's jonesfoundation.org.
Okay. So if I have a lesion, I go in on Monday and I see a lesion that I want your opinion or someone like yourself's opinion, there's a place there where I can submit a photo. And within how long does it take for me to get
usually
an answer?
24 to 48 hours.
Okay. That's not too bad.
And the idea is if it's something that at all looks suspicious, we'll typically say, this likely needs a biopsy or at least needs to be evaluated more carefully. And then there's a dialogue between the two caregivers to try to either streamline a referral or set up some follow-up locally. And, it's an organization that is based in Central Ohio. However, they have a national scope, so they're able to do this on a national basis as well.
What kind of statistics are you seeing or are you aware of what happens with these photos that are submitted? For instance, what percentage of the photos that dentists and physicians send in turn out to be cancerous?
About half.
You're kidding.
Yeah,
half?
About half. Because, I think dentists are very... well-versed in what is an abnormal-looking lesion, what's something that is not abnormal. Now, not all of them end up being cancer, certainly when they're seen, but, you know, there's a higher hit rate, you know, with these things from dental offices than one would imagine.
Right, yeah, because we do know what normal is. We don't always know what the abnormal is, but we know it's not supposed to be there, and of course...
That's right. One of the things that I've really tried to do is go around and speak with dentists and study sections and study societies, and that's why the Seattle Study Club asked me to come out and speak and really show lots of examples of what's abnormal and what's normal. And I think that continuing dialogue is critical between our two areas of expertise.
Yeah, I know that, for instance, there are things that look abnormal, like geographic tongue, that they're not. It's not abnormal.
Exactly.
It's certainly not cancer, but I would imagine that you get some people or some physicians that look in there and go, that doesn't look right.
Exactly.
You find yourself getting some geographic tongue photos.
Exactly. And, you know, and from a medical legal standpoint, one of the things that the dental community is really sort of at risk for is delay in diagnosis. If there's a leukoplakic lesion or a white plaque on the side of the tongue and it's noticed and documented, but there isn't a referral made or there isn't a biopsy done, that definitely is something that leaves dentists and other practitioners open for litigation and whatnot.
No doubt. Yeah, we do have to be on the lookout. Now, you listened to the show, I think, before calling in, or I know you're on hold for a little bit. So
yeah.
Was there anything that we said that you wanted to expand upon or set me straight on something?
No, I think, Terry is a good friend. You know, I wouldn't dare correct him. But I mean, I really appreciate you doing this. It's critically important, you know, for our specialties to work together. And it can't be stressed enough that early detection is really what makes the biggest difference in oral cancer. Because those statistics that you talked about, with regards to the number of people who are diagnosed, unfortunately, most of those that we see as cancer surgeons are in the advanced stages, stages 3 and 4, rather than 1 and 2. So there's clear evidence that if you find these as stage 1 and 2 tumors, that is small tumors that haven't developed a neck lymph node, the cure rates are much, much higher, 30 to 40% higher. So the sooner we can find these lesions in the mouth, the better that you folks' survival will be.
Okay, and as a surgeon, you'd love to just be able to remove a 7-millimeter localized lesion and it heals and there's no disfigurement than having to resect an entire maxilla or mandible or both.
No question. And, for a variety of reasons, but the main one is, the cure rates are just so much higher.
Right.
And I think, working together, we could really make an impact on, on the mortality rate from these terrible cancers.
Well, I know I appreciate what you guys do, and it's nice to have a trained set of eyes to tell us, what is this? Because we do have people come in, and it's funny, it's not funny, but they'll say, it just doesn't feel right in there, and I'll palpate, and I can't feel anything different. But I mean, I think we've all had that, when you're getting a sore throat, you're about to get a sore throat because you kind of get this lump in the side of your tongue.
Sure.
Yeah, that's like the first indicator. And so there's always this question, is this what's happening or is it the beginning of or a manifestation of some kind of an oral cancer?
Yeah. And I think, certainly for the audience, sore throat is a very common scenario, but a sore throat or a sore tongue that lasts more than a week,
okay,
doesn't respond to an antibiotic.
Okay.
Should definitely be checked out.
So 1 week is the key. No more than two.
No more than two.
And so if I call you, I can get in about a week?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to check.
Yep. No, we definitely, streamline appointments and make sure folks can get in to see one of our, really exceptional surgeons anytime.
Okay. Well, hey, Dr. Technos, thank you for getting up so early on a Sunday and being live on my show. I really appreciate it. And,
oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, no problem. And for all the work you guys do, we work together as a team to kind of make the public just healthier, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, you have a great day, and we've got time for me to say goodbye. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. We're here every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock from 8 until 9, so tune in next Sunday for another great show. Thanks.
Be sure and tune in next week for another exciting episode of Dentally Speaking with my dentist, Dr. Kvitko.
If you're interested in learning more about this and other dental health topics, go to dentallyspeaking.com to access full episodes of Dr. Kvitko's show.
If you would like to book Dr. Kvitko to speak at your next event, please call 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588. Or send an email to drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com. That's drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com.